Hallelujah. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Anybody know what that's about? Thank you. Praise the Lord. Somebody read the Bible. Somebody can read. Somebody read the top of the page. That's right. Isn't that great how they do that? They didn't do that in 1611. You know, they didn't have all that stuff. Praise the Lord. It's like a little concordance right there at the top of the Bible. Hallelujah. Father, we just love you. We bless your name. We glorify you. Let's lift our hands and thank the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, I praise you and glorify your name. I love you with all of my heart. That's you just say that. I love you, Lord, with all of my heart, all my mind, all my soul, all of my strength. I love my neighbor same way I love myself. Father, we give you praise for all of your goodness and your faithfulness. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for bringing it to pass in our hearts and in our outward existence. And we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's always good to talk about the resurrection, amen? And the reason it will be apparent as we read through the chapter. Because the resurrection is the heart of our faith, amen? The resurrection of Jesus is the heart of our faith. Because without the resurrection, you have a dead Jesus, you have a dead man, you have a dead Savior who died for your sins, but then apparently he couldn't do anything else. He had no power to raise you up. See, with him, we are raised. Not only with him are we dead, but with him we are raised. Amen? Hallelujah. See, you're raised. You're raised first from the Spirit. Then you're being raised. You're being raised. Amen? You can read through this chapter and you can know that not only does it apply physically, but it applies soulishly. Amen? The Word of God is applying to you spirit first, soul, and then body. And the body, of course, is last, right? Amen? The body's last. The body kicks in last. You know when the Lord comes to get us in the air in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, He's going to come get us in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen? The dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So Jesus is coming again. Say it, Jesus is coming again. See, sometimes we forget about that. You know, we just try to live good, you know, and live to please Jesus. Well, Jesus is coming again. Remember at the when he was taken up from them, the disciples were looking up at the sky, and he was taken up from them in a cloud. And the angels stood, two men in white apparel, wonder who they were, stood there, probably the same guys who were down there at the tomb, you know. Then they said, you men of Galilee, why are you, you know, it'd be like somebody who's standing there looking up like this, and they'd come up and stand next to you and go like this. Why are you guys doing that? Why are you guys looking up in the air? As, you know, what are you doing? He said, this same Jesus who has been taken up in the way that you saw will return in like manner. So his testimony, Jesus said, I'm coming back. The angel said he's coming back. He'll be coming back just the same way that he left in the clouds. Well, that's just silly. That's just crazy. Well, it's only crazy if this whole world is your whole world. Amen? If this whole world is your whole world, you are in deep trouble. I mean, just read the news, listen to the internet, whatever. You can believe the internet. You know, listen to Sean Hannity or somebody. I mean, listen to whoever. Yeah, listen to all these people, and they're going to tell you all kinds of stuff that's going on, you know, so you'll support their program, and so you'll listen more and more to find out what's going on next. Wonder what happens next week. Well, tune in next week, and let's find out what happens next, you know, in the world. Well, why don't you read this book here that Kyle's got on his lap? See, you need to read the Bible. If it ain't in the Bible, it ain't happening. China's not going to rule the world. Huh? I said, China's not going to rule the world. 2012 is not the end of the world. Hallelujah. Because the Bible didn't say that. Amen. A lot of people saying a lot of things. The Bible didn't say it. It ain't happening. So I just want you to read your Bible instead of reading everything else. I want you to believe what God said, what God wrote, because holy men of old wrote this as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And He anointed men to write. Well, it was written by men. It's a fallible book. It's a lie. I mean, that what I just said before, that was a lie. It's not a fallible book. It was written by the Holy Ghost. I don't care what kind of fallible man. God can get a guy to, you know, if He can get a donkey to talk, He can get a man to write. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Y'all always wonder if I'm ever going to get started, don't you? It's kind of like pushing something downhill. You know, you've got to push something over the hill and so it'll go down. All right. Moreover, well, the verse before that says, let all things be done decently and in order. And then it says, moreover, that means, and now after that, and on top of that, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you. This is Paul preaching to the Corinthians. You remember the Corinthians? They were kind of a mess. I just thought I'd back up a little bit and let you know that. So if we'll go ahead and, you know, preach this to you, that would kind of be indicative of, well, if they needed this, they must have needed the rest of the book too. Amen? So maybe we should start at chapter 1. But we won't do that today. And but how many of you would say that in your flesh you're still a mess? That's not just for you. That's for me. Amen. Outwardly, in our flesh, we're still a mess. I say that we have the days that we are put upon by stuff in the world. Amen. Stuff that happens. People happen. Did you know that? People actually happen, you know, in your little world. Is that people will come and they will come up with all kinds of new and different things to say to you and new and different ideas about what ought to be done. And so it's your job to go to Jesus, say, Lord, help me not to kill them. Help me to walk in love. Help me to be Jesus to that person. Amen? Help me to be Jesus. Help me to walk with what is on the inside of me. Help me to let what's on the inside of me by the Holy Spirit. Because I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Say it, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. See, if you're a Christian, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Then you're baptized with the Spirit. First of all, you're filled with the Holy Spirit because it becomes a fountain of everlasting life on the inside of you. Amen? Springing up. It's a fountain springing up into everlasting life. That's what the Holy Spirit is to begin with. He's for you. He's not for the world yet. He's just for you. When you receive Jesus, when you receive the gospel, it's for you. And He's working and He's producing and it's life on the inside of you. Amen? He's put a battery on the inside of you. You were dead. You were a dead battery. You were nothing. And He put a Duracell on the inside of you. Or if you like Energizer, He put one of those bunnies on the inside of you. So in other words, you're filled with the power of God. I'm filled with the power of God. See, I've got to remember this every day. I'm filled with the power of God because if I look in the wrong mirror, if I look in the mirror of what the day is bringing, then I'm going to believe that I'm just me. I'm not just me. I'm filled with the living God. Amen? I'm filled with the living God. And daily, 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 every day, you got to wake up and not think, well, this is just another day where I'm a kid. There's a day where I'm filled with the Holy Spirit and the living God lives on the inside of me and I'm being changed from one degree of glory to the next. Every single day. Amen? It's like every single day, if you're in a particular job, you got a widget that needs to be built, or you got a build, and then you got to pay for the widget parts, and you build the widget, and then you sell the widget, and you got to collect money for the widget. Everybody wonders what the widget. It's whatever it is you do. All right? So every day, do you do that same stuff? By and large. You know what every day you is incumbent upon you to do as a believer? To say it. I'm a believer. I'm a believer in Christ Jesus. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost every day. It's not every Sunday. Every day. Hallelujah. Especially Monday. Monday's the worst. Amen? It's because you felt like because your flesh said, well, I went to church yesterday. Yeah, and then you just roll into Monday, and I don't care what you do, you know. Whatever it is you do, you roll into Monday, and then somehow you're in some other kind of gear, you know. No, Monday needs to be the day you say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I am rejoicing, and I'm glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And be what? And what? See, we sing songs like we read the Bible. This is the day. This is the day that I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad. And be glad. Not just rejoice, but twice. Rejoice and be glad. Am I boring you yet? I'm just getting started. I'm getting excited because this is the truth, and I'm going to walk in it. Amen? Because what it does, it changes me. When I walk like this, when I talk like this, it changes me. It makes me what I'm not on the outside. It changes my brains. It gets my brains out of the frying pan. Amen? Because my brain is frying because of all the stuff that's going on. Amen? Doesn't matter what you do. You've got some kind of stress, some kind of you got to get there and got to get it done. But the fact is, even if you're retired, well, I'll tell you what, you could get in trouble being retired, amen? Isn't that right? It's happened before, hasn't it? You know, it's not used to it yet. Amen. But you got to be excited about heaven, amen? And that's in the resurrection. This is one of the things. Yeah, we're going to get back to this. This is one of the things that allows you to say, I'm different than the world. The world is just this short, you know, creation. New Jerusalem. That's it. Now just figure the rest of the universe besides this timeline I just created on this pew. This pew from front to back, from end to end, that's time. The rest of it is eternity. I don't mean just the building. I mean outside the building, outside Fort Worth, outside Texas, outside the United States, you know, outside North America, outside the world, outside the moon, outside the solar system. And just keep thinking about this one little pew, end to end, that's time. That's all it is. Eternity is a little bigger. And you're living there from right here. You're living there from right here. You're living from, oh, I'm showing in my heart right here in my shirt, all for the tape. Is that you're living from your heart. Amen? You got to tell me, this is not smell-o-vision. I always wanted to say that. All right. So you're living in eternity from your heart. Amen? And that's what this resurrection talks about. That's the beginning of it. All right, let's read this. So moreover, brethren, I've been talking about this first verse. I declared to you the gospel which I preached to you, which I just did, which also you have received and wherein you stand. Wherein you stand. You stand in the gospel. You are alive and you're standing. You are without, you are strengthened. The fact of standing has to do with the ability to stand or be strengthened rather than to not even be able. But you stand by righteousness before the throne of God. You stand. You have standing as in a courtroom. But you stand having strength. You stand having life. You stand in the gospel. With the gospel, you get everything. Without the gospel, you get one thing at the end of your life, which is death. Without the gospel, you get death. You got to understand these things, and you got to be able to tell somebody. You know, you're not trying to get somebody to shape up. You're trying to get somebody to live in eternity rather than die at the end of their life. Amen? Shape up comes later. You're going to die in just this simple existence, and there won't be anything else. However, if you would believe, if you would trust that there is a God that's bigger than you, and a heaven that's bigger than you, and a God who loves you and who desires to have you, to know you, and for you to be his son, and to give you everything, you just believe that he made it possible for that to happen for you. And the only thing he's requiring of you to do is just believe it itself. Just believe that that you are in his will, that he put you in his will. That's what you're telling people. That's what you're teaching people. That's what you're helping them with. You're not trying to judge their life and say, you need to shape up. You need to just let them know, here's the facts. Here are the facts. I'm dying, you're dying. I've got Jesus, I'm living forever. You, I'm not so sure. But you can. And you don't have to fix up. You don't have to do anything special. So in the gospel, you stand. And you can help somebody else to stand. Amen? Praise the Lord. By the which you are also saved, if you keep in memory. You're saved. Now the saving is the saving of the soul. If you keep in memory, remember we've talked about it before, what Peter said, is that as long as I'm alive, I'm going to tell these things to you so that you'll have them after I'm dead. So memory, keep them in your memory. Renewing your mind, girding up the loins of your mind, by the which you are also saved, if you keep in memory what I preach to you, unless you have believed in vain. In other words, to keep your faith, you keep meditating upon the truth. To keep the truth. Otherwise, you're just gonna you get sucked up by the world. You get sucked up by circumstances. You remember the story of the seed. You know, you got the seed, you got rocky ground. You know, the seed was planted, it fell on rocky ground, and it grew up quickly, but then all of a sudden, because of the rocks, they had no root in them, and the seed dried up and died. Then there's another story, another part of that same parable, is that the seeds went in, and they were choked out by the weeds, by the cares of this life. Amen? So that's why you want to continue to have the Word of God implanted in you. Come on Sunday morning, come on Sunday night, read your own Bible. Pray. Pray doesn't necessarily mean pray for stuff. Pray just is having fellowship. It's just having Jesus over for coffee. Amen? Jesus over the back fence, you know. Jesus right, Jesus close by. The Father, he loves you. So invite him to come by. Amen. In the car, in the house. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm just teaching you how to grow. Amen? Teaching you how to grow. Because you still got sin. We know that. We believe that. That's true. We've seen that. Amen. You've had a lot of sin. You've had a lot of sin. You missed it. You missed the mark. But God said this. He said, I forget all of your sins. You're not going to perform. You're not going to produce. I'm going to produce. And that's what this fellowship with him is you're producing. You're producing. You're living with him. Living. He's living in you, with you. And he's bringing to pass that which is well-pleasing in his sight. We're going to get to the resurrection, I guess. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I've also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And he was seen of Cephas, that is Peter, and then of the 12. And after that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once. So Jesus, this was not an isolated incident. Well, did just those 12 guys say they saw him? No, actually, is this working? He was seen of over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part, most of them, remain to this present, but some have gone on to be with the Lord. Some of them had died. After that, he was seen of James, and then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me, Paul says. I saw him. But he's not talking about in the physical. And last of all, And last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. In other words, it just didn't seem like I was not part of the ministry. I wasn't somehow, I came along after the fact. For I am the least of all the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. So he persecuted the church of God, and was not ready to, and was not prepared or fit to be called an apostle, according to his own testimony. That's very interesting. You may think you're not fit to be something. Read the next verse. But, well, that's a good start. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I am what I am. That's not Popeye. That's Paul. All right? By the grace of God, I am what I am. So no matter what I was before, or what I even seem to be still lacking, anybody like that? Whatever I seem to be before, or whatever I still lack, by the grace of God, the grace of God has something to do with what you are. By the grace of God, I am what I am. What you see has happened is by the grace of God. This Word of God, I'm of the opinion that when the Holy Spirit, this guy, remember he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, top gun, big shot, top student. If Pastor Jim had 3 degrees, he had 10. I mean, this guy was it. He was the top of the top guy. And when the Holy Spirit, I mean, he knew every bit of that scripture. He knew every bit of that Old Testament. But when the Holy Spirit touched him, you know what came out? The whole New Testament. And I bet that was more. But this is all God wanted in there. So that's all he put in there. But I mean, that Holy Spirit touched that Word of God, the mystery which was from the foundation of the world, hidden in the script, in the prophets. And when Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit and he began to write, and he was moved by the Holy Spirit, and he wrote these letters, and the mystery of the gospel was revealed. The mystery of the gospel was revealed in these scriptures like never before. Amen? So powerful. By the grace of God, Paul is what he is. Was what he was in this life. And by the grace of God, you are what you are. Hallelujah. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Now don't look and check. You don't know what you're supposed to be. God knoweth. Just walk with Him. Let Him lead you. Amen? Don't be checking yourself against somebody else. Don't be checking your progress. Amen? Paul said, I don't even judge myself. How about just look at Jesus? Look at Jesus and be changed. This is what the Holy Spirit's all about. This is the Holy Spirit is about you not having to... Jesus was just one guy. God was not going to clone the physical Jesus and have him walk around with each one of you. Amen? But what he did do, he said he took of his Spirit. He took of his Spirit and he put him on the inside of each one of you. So you're living, and the Holy Spirit, the living God, is on the inside of you. Young and old. You know? And if you're 14, 15, and you've heard the Word of God, you're being indwelt by the Holy Spirit. If you're 10, I want to catch everybody. If you're under 10, amen? Hallelujah. If you're Russell, praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit is living on the inside of you, changing you. Hallelujah. If you're a mess, turn to God today. If you've had a kind of a mess of a week, I want you to turn to Jesus today. Turn to Him right now. So Jesus, I turn all of my garbage over to you. I take out all of my garbage and give it to you right now. You're collecting all of my garbage. You're taking it out and you're putting your life and your mercy and your goodness and your love on the inside of me. And I'm changed and I'm happy and I'm peaceful. Hallelujah. That's what's happening because, again, this world is not your home. You live in heaven. And one day you'll have a body to prove it. Jesus did. All right, let's look. For by the grace of God, verse 10, I am what I am, and His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preached and so you believed. Didn't matter who it was, took the word with them, whatever word I had, and they got that, and they took it. It didn't matter whether it was me or them. Doesn't matter. Here's another part of the scripture where he talks about, over in Philippians, where he talks about the people who took advantage of Paul being in jail. Remember that one? He said, well, good, he's in jail now. He can, because they had their own way of preaching, you know. And he says, and some people were preaching Christ for gain. Some people were preaching the gospel, believe it or not, preaching the gospel out of spite for me. They were, you know, saying something, preaching it, well, Paul says this, but we say this. He says, I'm rejoicing because either way, Christ is being preached. Because Christ preached, He died, He rose, and He's coming again. If you got that much in there, thank God. So he's like, well, I'm going to get them when I get out. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say that. He said, you know, well, hey, it all fell, and I love the way he says it. King James is great. It all fell out for the furtherance of the gospel. You know, it just like, I don't want to say like it's rolling dice, but I mean, it's just like, however it dumped out on the ground, you know, it came out, God set it up for His glory. Amen? So if people are messing with you, if people are doing things, listen, you begin to rejoice. It's all coming out for your blessing. Amen? It's all coming out for your blessing. It fell out. It all fell out for the furtherance of the gospel. I don't know if you like that. I do. I think it's great. It all fell out for the furtherance of the gospel. It's just everything's coming up roses. It's all going my way. You hadn't lived my life. Well, I've lived my own. And you don't know what I've been, where I've been, what I've done. I've had my share. And you know what? It's all coming out for my blessing. Amen? I got still some things rolling around. And we don't know how it's quite going to shake out. But you know what? It's all happening for my good. But you know what? It's all happening for yours. Amen? Maybe you're married and have a new baby. It's all coming out for your blessing. It's all coming out for your good. Well, things aren't quite what we thought. Well, no, but yeah, it's true for most folks. Amen? Hallelujah. Maybe your husband's in the hospital. It's all falling out for your blessing and your glory and His blessing. Amen? I love talking to Reggie. He'll encourage you. He feels bad. He'll sit there and encourage you. Amen? That's it. You feel bad, you should start encouraging somebody. I'll help you. Start encouraging somebody. Start telling them about how much Jesus has done for you. Amen? Anybody getting anything out of this? I'm getting excited. Hallelujah. Now verse 12, now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Because they would already had new doctrines going around by the time that Paul wrote the letter. Amen. Well, he didn't really rise from the dead. He just fainted. Well, he fainted when they stuck the spear up in the middle of his side and they nailed him to the cross. The guy was dead. Jesus was dead. Number one, the reason I know is because the Bible said He was. Amen? So now if Christ be... And see, the Sadducees, were a sect of Judaism. You remember the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Well, they didn't believe in the resurrection, so that's why they were sad, you see. Yeah. I try to throw them all in. How many people are just without hope, amen? They got to be sad. There's no hope. We got hope. Amen. I'm hopeful, Jonathan. I'm hopeful. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You got to be louder over there. Y'all got a small group. Y'all are having to fill in for. You keeping Norma's spot warm? Okay. All right. Okay, now he says, how some of you say that there's no resurrection of the dead? Verse 13, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ isn't risen. In other words, maybe Jesus was risen, but we're not going to rise. No. No. If Jesus is risen, you're going to be risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and on top of that, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified that God raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if it be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then Christ isn't raised. He writes like I preach. That's funny. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. They don't have any hope. They don't have any hope. If the people who went to sleep believing in Christ and in the resurrection, if there's no resurrection, they're gone. They're done. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we of all men are most miserable. Wow. Well, if we just live for Jesus now and there's no resurrection, it'll be enough. You know what? That's not what God said. God said there's a resurrection. He said there's a resurrection. But now is Christ risen. Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. He's the very first one. Now we're not talking about Lazarus. We're not talking about Tabitha, the little girl. We're not talking about Jairus' daughter. Because they rose up and they died again. Can you imagine? Raise somebody up and they just go die again. No, but this isn't the same resurrection. It's not the resurrection body. It's not the eternal body. It's because our body is changed. Our body is changed, and Jesus' body was changed. You'll remember over in on the road to Emmaus in the book of Luke, where he talks about the fact that he went to the he come up alongside these guys who were all sad, and they were talking about the events of Jesus' death that day. And he walks with them to Emmaus, and they said, well, turn in here with us. And he said, well, why are y'all sad? He encouraged them with the scriptures, and they were happy to have him. So when it was getting dark, they got to Emmaus, and they turned in, and he made as if he would have gone further. Like, I'm just going to keep, come on, come stay with us. Have some victuals, And so they sat down at the table together. And Jesus sat down with them, and they still didn't recognize him because he was hidden from them. And then he broke the bread, just like at the dinner. He broke the bread. And all of a sudden, they recognized him. And you know what happened? He vanished out of their sight. That's a resurrection body for you. So he was with them in the room, in the thing, at the dining table. And all of a sudden, he broke the bread. They recognized him, and he was gone. And then they hopped up and said, my goodness, didn't our hearts burn within us while he talked with us, by the way, how he opened to us the scriptures? And so they hopped up and ran to Jerusalem. I mean, it was already dark. There's robbers out in those days. But they ran onto town. They ran into town. And all of a sudden, huffing and puffing, they ran into town. And all of a sudden, they got themselves in the door, knocked on the door, gave the secret handshake, got into the room with the disciples, and the doors were locked. And all of a sudden, the doors were locked. Windows were shut. All of a sudden, Jesus shows up in the room. He showed up. Didn't come in the door. He just showed up. All of a sudden, everybody was like, whoa! Because that's the first they'd seen of it. Amen? So in other words, that's that resurrection body. That's that resurrection body. But it does eat fish. So that's good. So he can still eat fish. So you'll still be able to eat. There's going to be a wedding feast, and you'll be able to eat, and it'll be great. Amen? You just won't get fat. Praise the Lord. I wonder if it'll be a sin to overeat in heaven. Hallelujah. All right. So Christ became the first fruits of that kind of a body. He became the first fruits of that kind of a body. First fruits of them that died and rose from the dead. For since by man came death, oh, it's all your fault. By man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man after his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward, they are Christ's when? At his coming. At his coming. Then comes the end. Whew. When he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, this is when this happens, for he must reign until he has all put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. That's why you're raised to life eternal. There will be no death. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. We are used to it. We've kind of used to death around here. Kind of make it kind of a ritual. We got big lawns, you know, little plaques on them, you know, and that's where you go visit your loved ones. And but you remember that's only in this pew here from beginning to end. There's no more death. There's no more death. Because later in the chapter, I don't know if we'll get there that far, so I'll tell you now. Death is swallowed up in victory. Death is swallowed up in victory. Amen? Death is swallowed up. It's like a little fish being swallowed up by a big fish. It's swallowed up in victory. It can't escape. Death cannot escape life. Death cannot escape victory. Yeah, you've heard people talk about snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. You know, it happens the other way around for the believer. You're snatching victory from the jaws of defeat. Amen? Every day. Every day I snatch victory, death from the jaws of defeat. Erase that part. Let me say it again. Every day I snatch victory from defeat. Amen? Defeat can't win. I can't be defeated. I can't be defeated. Say it. I can't be defeated. Now don't wait till you feel it. Just walk with that. Okay? Amen. I don't care what it looks on the outward. See, what's most important is the fact that you're not defeated from the inward. The outward, yeah, you may lose. You may lose this, you may lose that. But on the inward, people look at you like, what's wrong with you? How come you're not all depressed? It's because I win. When I lose, I win. Well, you're just crazy. Yeah, but I'm happier than you. Amen. I got more joy than you do. Because I'm happier than you. Because when I'm defeated, it's not the end. When I'm defeated, I just keep going. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. People want to run away from you until they get to the end of their rope. Amen. And then there you are, still rejoicing, I think. Don't let the enemy and defeat slow you down. How do you do that? You meditate on God's word. Meditate on this book of the law shall be in your mouth day and night. You shall meditate therein. Then you will make your way prosperous and then you'll have good success. What does that mean? That just means you're walking with God and He's for you. Amen? Be of good courage. Doesn't mean you're doing something and if you turn the Word of God just right and you keep the law just right. No, you put it on the inside of you And then it begins to bear fruit like a seed. Amen? It begins to bear fruit like a seed, and you're changed, and you start talking like me. Or you start talking like Pastor Jim. Or you start talking like somebody who has hope in God, like Barbara here. Amen? Hallelujah. She'll never be defeated. She can't. It can't happen. It can't happen. Amen? It can't happen. No matter what has happened, the Holy Ghost lives on the inside of you and you are alive. You're alive. You're alive in Christ. Remember Galatians? You know, I'm alive in Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet the life that I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's more than a plaque. It's more than just a picture on the wall. It's more than just a scripture in the kitchen. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all should get up here and preach. Y'all feel better. Amen. I'll tell you what, I can come in depressed and I can leave happier than any of you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Y'all ought to try this. Dave, you're ready? Yeah. Be great. Shannon, it'd be great. Look at her. She's preaching to her kids every day. Don't do that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. This is so much fun. Praise the Lord. All right, let's keep going. We'll quit in a second. Then comes the end. Well, I guess it's when we're supposed to quit. Listen to the word, brother. When he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, and when he shall have put down all rule and all authority, for he must reign till he has put his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Verse 27, he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. That's talking about the Father. So all things are going to be under Jesus' feet except the Father. And when all these things shall be subdued to him, then shall also the Son himself be subject to him who put all things under his feet, which is the Father, that God the Father may be all in all. That's the end. The end is the Father. The end is the Father. Jesus is not your, Jesus is your Savior, but it's because the Father wanted him to be. Jesus isn't your friend and your Father's your enemy. It's your Father, Father himself. Who loves you? The Father himself loves you. Amen? Just like the father who looked for his kids out there every day after the kids said, hey, give me all the stuff that belongs to me. I'm going to run and blow it. Okay, there you go. And he, sure enough, he went and blew it. But the father was looking for him every day. My son was dead. Now he's alive. Now he's alive. You're the sons and daughters. You were dead, but now you're alive. Amen? He's looking for you. He's looking for you. Actually, he's kind of looking for you every day. He knows you're in the family. It's a big house. You know, he just didn't know quite where you are. Well, is he downstairs? You know, he wants you to come see him. Amen. Because, you know what, when you go see him, your insides are changed. The inside of your brains, your mind is transformed. When you come see the Father daily, that's the being saved part. Amen? That's the part where he says the gospel is saving you if you keep in memory. See, if you begin to listen to the world, then you begin to just, you know, follow after the world. Well, I guess that's what they do. You know, that's what everybody else does. You know, that's how it's done around here in our parts, you know, in these parts. No, we don't do things the way they do them in these parts. We do things the way we did them back home in heaven. Amen? We do them the way they did them back home in heaven. Hallelujah. We cook beans and cornbread the way they did back home. Amen? We do that kind of stuff. We do it like we do it back home. We don't adopt these other ways. Hallelujah. All right? Verse 28. And we're going to stop there. Hallelujah. Because we're not going to talk about being baptized for the dead because I don't want to explain that one to you. Because you don't do it. It's just the ones who did do that What good would it be if they did it, if Christ didn't rise from the dead? So don't be baptizing people for the dead. Amen. See, we don't even have a baptistry for that. All right. Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord. Father, we love you. I love you with all of my heart. We thank you, Lord God, for the resurrection. I thank you for the resurrection. Father, we thank you for the living from the dead. We thank you that we're of a new creation, which is really an old creation from the foundation of the world. We have the life of God in me. I have the life of God in me. And I'm singing, I'm dancing, coming into your presence, knowing that you love me, forgiving my neighbor, loving my family, loving my neighbor, forgiving my family. Because every day is a new day, a brand new day, a brand new day, a resurrected day. Hallelujah. I'm a new creation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we love you and praise you and thank you for it. Let this word be implanted and engrafted. And let it be that which would save our souls. In Jesus' name, amen.